Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, a program that has been on the air since 1937. And the purpose of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance is to bring Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to a lost and dying world. I hope you enjoy this Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Christ was discussing with his disciples their relationship to the world when he made the statement, "If I had not come," John 15:22. If Christ had not come, we would have no New Testament, with its four Gospels portraying the wonderful stories and incidents in the life of Christ, narratives which present him as servant, king, son of man, and son of God. There would be no Bethlehem. If Christ had not come, the beautiful story of the babe in Bethlehem, which for more than 2,000 years has been whispered in the ears of little children by godly mothers, would have not been told. The star in the east would have failed to shine. The angelic choir would have remained in heaven. The shepherds on the Judean hills would have heard no announcement. There would be no peace on earth, no goodwill toward men. If Christ had not come, there would have been no miracles. The palsied man of Capernaum would have spent his days upon his mattress, for there would have been no great physician to whom his friends could carry him. The man at the pool of Bethesda, who suffered 38 years, would have continued to suffer while others pushed ahead of him in the healing waters. The 10 lepers would have grown more desperate, more wretched, more loathsome, until at last, with faces of horror and bodies of rottenness and filth, they would have fallen into the grave. The blind man by the wayside would have continued to sit begging in darkness until death came and pulled him into eternity. The widowed mother in the city of Nain would have buried her son. Mary and Martha would have continued to grieve for their brother Lazarus, for there would have been no resurrection in Bethany. The tempest would have continued to rage and the angry waves to dash at will, for there would have been no master to say, "Peace, be still." The little boy with 5 barley loaves and a few fish would never have known how great small things can become in the hands of God. If Christ had not come, we would not have the 30 great parables. We'd have never heard of the sower, the stony ground, and the wayside and the good soil, the lesson of forgiveness as taught in the parable of the unmerciful servant would not be known. The people of the world, like the wicked servant, would have continued to bury their talents and hide them in a napkin. The lesson of preparedness as taught in the parable of the 10 virgins would have never been known. The good Samaritan would have passed the wounded man, as did the priest and the Levite. The prodigal son would have never found his way back home. If Christ had not come, there could have been no wonderful conversions. John the Baptist could never have said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Nicodemus would have never been told, "You must be born again." We'd have not heard of John, the tender, timid disciple of love. Peter, the big-bodied, great-hearted, impetuous fisherman, who was always blundering, yet always ready to apologize, would have never been saved. We would have missed much if Peter had not been converted. In no other apostle do we so plainly see the weaknesses of humanity and the magnitude of the grace and power of God. Without Peter, there would have been no climbing out of the boat and walking on the water. There would have been no great sermon on the day of Pentecost, with more than 3,000 conversions, and no epistle to bear his name, for it was Jesus who said he would now be called Peter. Who else could have aptly worded the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? If Christ had not come, Zacchaeus, the small of stature publican of Jericho, would have continued to defraud the people. He would never have found a better way of life. The demoniac of Gadara would have remained untamed among the tombs, neither clothed nor in his right mind. The woman of Samaria would have never heard of the water of life, but would have continued to drink from the cup of iniquity until she drained it to the dregs. If Christ had not come, Saul, the bloodthirsty Jew, would have seen no light on the road to Damascus, and the world would have never heard of the brilliant, kind-hearted Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. If Christ had not come, there would have been no cross. Sinai, with its law, fire, thunder, and smoke, would have been the world's supreme monument of God's greatest love and closest contact with men. All that sinners could do would be to bring to a man-made altar the blood of bulls and of goats, which has no power to take away sin. Only the priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and the veil of the temple would have remained a solid curtain from top to bottom. If Christ had not come, we could never have sung. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Cowper could not have written, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. George Bernard would have had to find a new theme for his song, because the world would not know what he meant by the old rugged cross. If Christ did not come, we would be trembling with fear before Sinai instead of weeping in love before Calvary. If Christ did not come, there would have been no resurrection. Joseph's tomb would have been occupied by himself or a member of his family. The stone would have been left before the door, and there would have been no seal to be broken. If Christ had not come, the women would have gone about their work as usual. The angel would have remained in glory, and there would have been no Easter with its flowers and song, happy hearts and shining faces. Springtime with its budding life would lose much of its meaning. We would not have known that which is sown in weakness shall be raised in power. Without the resurrection, we would bend over the couches of our dying loved ones and say goodbye forever. Our hopes would terminate with the grave. And if in this life only we have no hope in Christ, we are of men most miserable. If Christ had not come, there would have been no book of Acts recording the day of Pentecost, the launching of the church, the death of Stephen, the conversion of Saul, Cornelius, and the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles. If Christ had not come, there would have been no epistles to the church with their doctrines, ordinances, exhortations, and plans to spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. If Christ had not come, there would be no book of Revelation. There would be no warning of tribulation that is to come, and no news of the final overthrow of Satan and death. We would have had no description of the city of Foursquare, the final abode of the saints. Without the book of Revelation, there would be no climax to the Bible, no declaration from John, come, Lord Jesus. If Christ did not come, there would be no church with its many blessings to humanity. Martin Luther would have never discovered that the just shall live by faith. Wesley would have never known that men are justified before they are sanctified. John Knox would have never cried, give me Scotland or I die. Carey would have missed India. Livingstone would have missed Africa. Asbury would have missed America. D.L. Moody would have remained a shoe salesman. Billy Graham would have never held an evangelistic crusade. There would be no hope, no great passages of Scripture. If Christ did not come, we would not have the great passages from the New Testament to quote to those in need. The Sermon on the Mount with its wonderful Beatitudes would have never been preached. We could never say to the sinner, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We could not say to the discouraged, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. We could not say to the doubtful, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We could not say to the needy, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If he had not come, we could not tell the sick and suffering of that day when God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. If Christ had not come, what a dismal, dark, miserable world we would have. Surely, W.O. Cushing was right in his poem, oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no rock, no refuge high, when the dark days round thee gather, when the storms sweep o'er the sky. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, how lonely life would be, like a sailor lost and driven on a wide and shoreless sea. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no hand to clasp my own, through the dark, dark veils of shadows just to press my way alone. Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, no friend, no light in Jesus. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, how dark this world would be. But Christ has come, and that is why we have hope. The Bible does not end with Malachi's threatened curse. We have the New Testament with its four Gospels, its 20 epistles, the book of Acts recording Pentecost and the expansion of the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which pictures the consummation of all things and ends with, come, Lord Jesus. Christ has come. and his miracles stand out like stars in the firmament. The palsied man took up his bed and walked. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda was healed. The lepers were cleansed. The blind received their sight. The widowed mother did not bury her son, for he lived again. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The angry storm heard the voice of its creator and grew quiet. The lad with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish learned that a little in the hand of God would feed a multitude. Christ has come, and many wonderful conversions have been recorded. Simon Peter was saved. Thousands were won through his ministry. Zacchaeus climbed down from the sycamore tree to give half of his goods to the poor and restore 4-fold to those he had wronged. The woman at the well believed and rushed back to her neighbors, saying, "Come, see the man who told me all the things I ever did." Saul the blasphemer was saved and became Paul the apostle, who cried, "Yea, I count all things but loss, that I may win Christ." Christ has come, and we do not have to look away to Sinai with its law and fire, but we can look away to Calvary, the hill of grace, and sing, "Down at the cross where my Savior died." Christ has come and paid the price so that the drunkard may become sober, the thief may become honest, the harlot may become pure. Salvation has been provided for the sinner, cleansing for the believer, for Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. Christ has come, and William Cowper has written, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain." We do understand so well, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and it has become one of the most popular sacred songs ever penned. The resurrection, Christ has come, and there was a resurrection. The Roman seal was broken, the stone was rolled from the door, the tomb was empty, for our Lord arose from the grave. We are not worshiping a dead Christ, but a living Savior who has become the first fruits of them that slept. And we know that if he arose, we shall rise also. Look not at the grave. He is not there. He is risen. Now the heart can sing, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Christ has come, and we do not have to worship within the cold gray walls of some synagogue, a God that is far off. We have a church where we can meet, sing his praises, magnify his name, and worship him according to the dictates of our own consciences. Christ has come and left us the New Testament with its beautiful passages, which contain a message for every heart. We can quote to the sinner, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." We can say to the doubting, "He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think." We can remind the tempted that in every temptation, he has promised to make a way of escape. To the sick, to the poor, and to the needy, we can read his blessed words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Christ has come, and to those in the valley of the shadow of death we can say, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God the Father has prepared for them that love him." If there were no Christ, and never had been, to save the sinner from the throes of sin, what a dreadful place this would be. But there is a Christ for you and for me.
She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Suddenly, this dark, chilly night felt a warmth and a peace it had had never felt before. There was something so different here, something special about this baby. This infinite divide that had separated us from our Creator. And no good deed, no act of kindness from this side would ever be enough to connect us with a holy, sinless God. But this baby, this was God reaching down to us. Ever heard. Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was a miracle in a manger. The one whose tiny veins held the most precious treasure mankind had ever known. Perfect, sinless blood. So precious that it would one day atone for the sin of whosoever would believe.
On behalf of Gretchen and myself, I would like to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. I pray that time with family and friends this year will just be the best ever for you. And I would ask that you would just continue to pray for us as we too will celebrate the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And that was the gift of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you during this Christmas season.
And heaven and nature. to sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found.
Our time is coming gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Thanks so much for listening. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. I know you would also be welcome in Fostoria, Ohio, at the Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us a letter. Include us in your giving for Christmas. It would mean so much. You can write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.